Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We are efforting him as we speak, so we'll hopefully be joined by Charles here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, it was interesting with our discussion with Kuharski yesterday about kind of the draft, the way things have shaken out here in free agency, and how they're going to go about addressing edge, right? Because, you know, we've had some people ask us about Dallas Turner at 7, or maybe if you traded back from 7 to 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that neighborhood, could you get Dallas Turner to come in here and be opposite Harold Landry? You know, maybe. I'm kind of with you in terms of, you know, trading back to 7 or trading back from 7, I think it's going to be more difficult maybe than originally anticipated, just based on Kirk Cousins in Atlanta now, and they've kind of figured out the quarterback spot. So, like, the path towards finding an edge rusher, probably some more help on the interior defensive line. Like, you've heard, you know, Kuharski threw it out there basically yesterday that it seems like they're going to draft an inside linebacker at some point here in the draft. So we'll see where that ends up. Again, they don't have a third round pick currently, but like identifying who that next player is going to be to help them out at edge rusher. I mean, it feels like they've got to find one at some point, as we've discussed, a limited amount of resources that you're going to have once the draft actually gets here. And I, for one, don't feel comfortable with it just being Landry, Simmons, and then rolling with like Arden Key on the other side. Like, Arden Key to me is not a starting every down edge rusher. Another mute for Rex Road, mute number two today.
Oh my gosh. I was muting myself because I was screaming F bombs at Charles. Oh wait. Okay. Charles is ready, by the way, if you want to call him, Nick.
There we go.
I intimidated him with my language. Yeah, look, I Caitlined him. Now Key, you have Weaver, you've got some guys, but yeah, look, I mean, it's supporting two guys that you are absolutely in this defense leaning on to be great. And hey, you're paying them to be great. They're Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry, but they've got to have more support. Denico Autry has been so well. Denico Autry has been important for both of them, but I think especially for Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, at different times you've had some different guys. Key has had some moments last year, a little bit disappointing, I'd say, given what we thought in camp. But yeah, you've got to find more help. And I think a prominent pick at the edge is sensible.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who's being bullied by Joe Rexrow. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Sorry, guys. Sorry
it's
about
okay.
That.
Don't let Rexrow intimidate you. Don't let Rexrow intimidate you.
It's fine. You're running a little late today. How are we doing?
We're doing really good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, let's start on the rule changes, the kickoff rule that has now been implemented in the NFL, and the hip drop tackle. Where do you come down on those two things that have gone down this weekend in Orlando at the NFL meetings?
Yeah, I mean, it was I think it was definitely inevitable with the hip drop tackle. I don't think there was any stopping banning it. It'll be interesting to see how they call it. You know, it feels complicated, and I'm curious to see how accurate this ends up being. I know the NFLPA is pretty upset about it because, you know, just talking to people there, they're like, this is just another way for them to take money out of players' pockets. And, you know, they think that officials are going to struggle to call it in real time, and that it's going to get, you know, missed. And other times, you know, it's going to be on the line, and I think they want to know what the fines are going to look like, and, you know, a whole host of different things. But I don't think there's any question that most people agree it's not safe. It's very similar to the horse collar tackle, obviously, that we saw banned years ago. And you know, once the league started to look at data, what was really interesting to me was just the explosion. Like when the data was presented between where it was at 2022 and then 2023, and the league was very suggestive that, look, this kind of feels like it was being caught. Like you don't see the rise. I mean, more than, you know, it nearly tripled from one year to the next. And the league stance was that only happens when either players are learning it from each other and they're implementing it into their game, or, you know, coaching staffs are teaching it. It just doesn't occur naturally. So, you know, I think the biggest thing now is just to see how officials call it, how you know, accurate they are with it, and whether or not it comes down to potentially changing games. The kickoff, you know, I think everything changed when you went through a Super Bowl and we just saw, like, there was no kickoff. There was no return in the Super Bowl at all. And you heard more and more from, you know, the league office that they felt like it had turned into a ceremonial play and they wanted to get to the point where they could put it back into the game. I think we talked about it last week. It's interesting, the setup, and now I've watched it several times, you know, how the XFL was doing it. And, you know, it's one of those things where I don't think we're really going to know how it's going to change, you know, watching a football game or the roster, the personnel that's on the field, until we actually see it come to fruition. I'm glad, though, that we're going to actually have, you know, kicks being returned again, because most teams, I just can't see teams saying, yeah, let's kick it through the end zone and put it, set people up at the 30. And, you know, for teams with great kickers, now all of a sudden you're basically telling your opponent, hey, you really only have to drive 40 yards now to, you know, be in scoring range. Teams aren't going to accept that. They're just going to have to find a way to, you know, just to play it. And I'm fascinated to see what special teams coaches are going to, you know, cook up with this whole thing. I think it just kind of gives staffs an opportunity, a wrinkle to, you know, figure out a way to take the play and, you know, do something special with it. So two rules that we knew, I think, going into those meetings, there was no doubt that those were both changing at that point. Once the league takes a stance on something and really starts to push the data, I think it's only a matter of time when things, you know, are going to change at that point.
So, Charles, huge move for the Tennessee Titans, getting L'Jarius Sneed. Let me ask it to you this way, because we were debating this. The compensation given back for him, do you view that in any way as a red flag on him?
Interesting. I see what you're saying. I guess I would ask you what why wouldn't you celebrate? Like, what, you tell me, what do you think?
Well, there's the knee stuff. It's the knee, you know, sure. Conversation. Yeah. I mean, that's really it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that you have to understand that the market for some guys, I think medically it puts the thought into your mind, like, ooh, you know, were people scared of this situation because, you know, the medical shouldn't the value have been higher? Shouldn't the number of suitors been steeper? I get that. I understand that. I still think that when it comes down to it, it feels like it's been a tighter trade market, honestly, when you talk to teams about giving up compensation and then also, you know, the contracts that they have to give up, and especially any teams that have a quarterback that's not being cheaply paid right now, there's a lot of worrying right now about where things are headed. You know, I think the Lions, it's a team that they have not spent the way that I think that, you know, fans thought they were going to spend. And I absolutely think that Jared Goff's extension has something to do with that. I think you look at what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, who have been just not active at all. And I think part of that is not only the fact they have to pay a multitude of guys, but that they're struggling with what's going to happen with Dak Prescott. And so I do think that there are a number of teams that could have potentially been involved with Sneed that are sitting there going, we have a ton of money to pay to a quarterback or a handful of guys and everything's exploding. We have to, you know, sit this out, and it is affecting, you know, the trade market. So I think the market for him was tighter for more economic reasons than maybe people realize. I don't know that everybody understands how teams are thinking right now, especially teams with decent quarterbacks, and not just quarterbacks, you know, wide receivers. I talk to, you know, you go through the owners meetings and there seems to be people like who are really expecting there's going to be an explosion offensive line salaries, particularly tackles. Like I talked to a GM who was like, the $35 million tackle is coming. Like this is going to happen. We're going to get there. And soon. So I think that probably played a little bit into the market being a little tighter for him. I think the market for a lot of guys was, from a trade perspective, was a lot tighter than people anticipated. Like, you know, it's funny because right now everybody's talking about the quarterbacks and, you know, can Denver get into the top five to potentially draft a quarterback? And I was talking to a personnel guy yesterday and I said, well, you know, they don't have draft compensation, but they could put Sertan into it. And he's like, yeah, he's like, and he's a really good player, like a top level player. He's like, but teams who are acquiring him would be acquiring a cornerback that they're going to have to pay like $25 million to a season. So despite the fact that he's a great player, nobody wants to pay that kind of money for a veteran at this point. And that's Patrick Sertan. I mean, he might be the best corner in football year over year right now. So I do think I get what you're saying about the knee. I don't know that that was the only thing that really played into where the compensation was going to go for him and the number of teams that the Chiefs were going to be able to deal with. I thought he would get traded a lot faster. I'll put it that way. And I think part of it, the reason that he wasn't, had to do with, you know, the commitment that teams thought they were going to have to make financially on top of the draft compensation.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, talking all things NFL. And Charles, I'm looking at the AFC, the moves that are being made this offseason, and I'm looking specifically at the Jets. So obviously, I mean, they got derailed last year with Rodgers going down in the first drive of the game of the right. season. And they've got, I still think, great pieces on the defensive side of the ball. Now, you know, they brought in Alan Lazard, and that was a total disaster. And, you know, I still think there's a lot of work that needs to be done with some sure. of their offensive pieces here. But do you think it's going to be as simple for them as Rodgers is back, Rodgers is healthy, and it's full go from there? Or do you think that they still have some serious flaws on the offensive side of the ball that's going to limit them even if Rodgers is back?
Well, I think this, I still think the team's going to go as obviously as Rodgers goes, but really as the offensive line goes. To me, that's been the story for years, right? They just can't keep the offensive line healthy, functional on the field. And, you know, Tyron Smith, it's a good signing. Like, I get it. I understand going out and getting him and the way the contract was structured, he's going to make his money if he's on the field with all the, you know, per game bonuses. That really can help that contract escalate. But when you look at Smith at left tackle, Morgan Moses, the guy obviously gets added at right tackle, there's injury histories there, right? So you're getting bookends and you're saying, hey, if these guys are both healthy and they're on the field for the you know, expanse of the season, that line should be a heck of a lot better. Just like it should be a heck of a lot better if, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker can stay on the field. It's the same sort of revolving door at that offensive line that I would be worried about. Like, there's age on these guys, there's injury history there, and they're more talented. There's no question about that, which is good. And they also went out and they signed a backup quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, which was a huge deal last year that they had to learn from. But yeah, the line's got to stay healthy. And if the line's not healthy, Rodgers is going to get, he's getting killed again. He's getting hit again. And now, obviously, Rodgers' Achilles, it tears on basically a non-contact play. It just does, you know, did it on its own. So you're worried about that. I still think they just ran. It's insane to me the amount of bad luck that they ran into last season. And I got to think at some point that's going to subside. But, you know, sometimes there are just regimes where it doesn't, and you've taken too many risks and not taken care, especially on the offensive line, consistently enough that you undermine your entire team from one position on the field. And it's interesting. We can get to this later, but, you know, Jim Harbaugh said some interesting stuff about the Chargers and their fifth overall pick that might impact the Titans. And we can talk, yep. We talk about that in a second. But,
well, that's my question. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, so it's like, so what Harbaugh said at the owners' meetings, he was talking about the offensive line. And I think this is a very true statement. He said, look, it's one of, I don't agree with it on the level he does, but he basically said it's the only position in football where it does not rely on other positions on the field to do a good job. Basically, his stance is the offensive line can go out there and they don't need anybody else on the field to perform well for their unit to do well. And every other position on the field in football is the opposite. The quarterback needs the offensive line to play well. The quarterback needs wide receivers to play well. You know, the defensive line needs the offense to sustain drives so that it can be rested and go out and play fresh snaps. Like, he kind of went through the litany of different positions on the field and how they depend on other positions. And he says, look, offensive line's different. That's why it needs to be great. Because everybody defends on the offensive line, but the offensive line doesn't really depend on anyone else to do its job. I would argue there's some nuance in there, but I get what he's saying. It's the core of the team. It's the spine of the team. You better be great there if you want everything else to be great. And that's, to me, that's how I look at the Jets. They've never been great there. They've never been consistently healthy there. And for years and years and years, it has destroyed their ability to see if, you know, Zach Wilson could ever be a decent quarterback, to, you know, protect Aaron Rodgers, you know, at a level that was going to keep him healthy last season, which I don't think, even if he had not torn his Achilles, I think he would have gotten destroyed last season behind that offensive line. So that's what I worry about. The Jets made a lot of great moves. I think they got to continue to add to that offensive line, maybe even in the draft. And they're going to have to pray that their two tackles, you know, stay healthy, which is pretty consistent theme with the Jets over the last couple of years.
So Harbaugh's taking Joe Alt is what you're telling us.
That's what I was. When Harbaugh says this, he's doing some stuff, okay. Like when you talk to people around the league, a lot of them are like pointing at Harbaugh as like being this guy who's creating a lot of BS like in the system, because I did a piece on McCarthy that is going to go up later today about how all of a sudden JJ McCarthy's in play at two, right? And that was a really consistent thing a lot of people were talking about at the combine. A lot of teams, you know, there was a lot of buzz when you went and talked to different teams. And I think what's interesting about it is I'm like, why are people not remembering that this happens every single year? Like a year ago, everybody was like Levis and the Titans at four. It was like, it went right up to the draft where everybody thought Levis was locked into the Titans at four. And then it didn't, or excuse me, not the Titans, the Colts. Levis and the Colts at four. It went right up to the draft. The Colts didn't take him at four. And obviously he goes into free fall. The year before, you know, Malik Willis has first round value. He's going to be a first round pick. Didn't happen. The guy falls to the third round, right? The year before that, it was the Niners are taking Mac Jones at three. It's definitely going to be, you know, Mac Jones. And then they switched to Trey Lance, you know, and in the last week. And so we're in like late March and this McCarthy stuff comes up and now all these people are losing their minds, going bananas about, you got to be kidding me. He's really going to come off the board at two. I'm like, you believe what you're hearing right now? And so when I start calling around, I'm asking, like, where's this coming from? A number of personnel guys are like pointing a finger at Harbaugh. They're like, the guy won't shut up about the kid. Every time he sits down and someone puts a mic in his face, he's saying, JJ McCarthy this, JJ McCarthy that. He's the best quarterback in the draft. Like, all these different things. And there's a very strong suggestion that a lot of this stuff that's coming out about McCarthy is Harbaugh behind the scenes pushing it. And everybody's like, hey, isn't it convenient that every quarterback that goes in front of him is a good thing for his team? You know, all of a sudden he's sitting at five and every single thing. Like, he needs everything except for quarterback. And at five, if he can get four quarterbacks drafted in front of him, everything's going to be there for him. And so then he says this stuff about the offensive line. And I'm like, man, it seems like he really needs offensive linemen. All makes sense there. Seems like that's who he could take at five. But he's very overt in his answers. So is this Jim also being like, hey, I know you guys are seven. I know maybe you want a tackle. Maybe you should come up to five and get the offensive tackle that you want. You know, or if Marvin Harrison Jr. slides to five, hey, do you guys want Marvin Harrison Jr.? Come to five. Like, it's there's a feeling, I think, amongst a number of teams that Harbaugh is playing the game right now, that he knows what he's doing and that he's sending signals out to all these different teams that at five, he's going to be open for business. And literally everybody you want who's not a quarterback is going to be sitting there waiting for you. All you have to do is call them. It's a conspiracy theory. I don't know how real it is or not, but I do think it's real that we're leaning too hard into this idea of what quarterback's going to go where at 2, 3, 4 right now. And it's way too early in the process. I still think a number of teams are figuring that out.
Well, Charles, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, Joe, are you happy? Do you want to put in a couple extra or anything else I can do to not get yelled at for being late today?
Tell me where.
I don't want to be in the
downtown
rant
Detroit. Well, you won't be in the rant. Downtown Detroit, best. I mean, I've been to some sports bars. Give me the best sports bar to watch games.
In downtown Detroit? Man, when do you last think I was just like a sports bar? I'm being serious. Well, when do you think you realize for like 20 years?
Since I was all right, you, fine. I'll just go to Sweetwater Tavern. Their wings are awesome. I figured I'd give it a shot.
Don can tell you the last time I went to Detroit, I spent half the trip being like, well, all the stoplights are working. where are the massive potholes that your car used to fit in? Like the whole trip, I was like, I don't know, this feels weird. Like we're in like a bizarro Detroit. Like everything seems to be fixed. And there's gardens downtown. And there's no boarded up buildings. Like, I'm like, what happened in the last like, you know, decade and a half since we've been here? Yeah.
It is pretty amazing.
It's awful to admit that, but yeah, I literally could not tell you anywhere. The only place I ever go when like that I know is still there is Lafayette Coney Island. That's it, and that's only because
absolutely you got to do the Coney Challenge.
Yeah. Wait, yes. Which are you, by the way? Have I ever asked you? You better not say American.
Oh God, Lafayette's way better. Oh,
okay. Yeah, no, I mean you'd be surprised. Some of our friends are. On the wrong side of that.
Speaking of F bombs, geez, I might have to let a wow. You text me who after this?
Yeah. We'll have to have this discussion. I've cussed a few people out on this one. So, all right. Take care, buddy. Guys.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. That Jim Harbaugh stuff is pretty interesting. We'll discuss that next. Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 1025-1063 The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today at toyota.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Joe, so Jim Harbaugh did go on this this long rant at the owners' meetings about the offensive line, and the offensive line is the only position that isn't relying on other positions, and how much he loves the offensive line and how important the offensive line is, and that has people back in the discussion of, well, could the Chargers go Joe Alt again at number five, which we were talking about earlier in the offseason. How do you view not only what he was talking about with the offensive line, but also kind of what Charles brought up there with the smoke and mirrors and everything that goes into this time of the year as we're approaching a month away now from the draft with all the different storylines, be that with quarterback. You know, Charles pointed out, you know, if four teams in front of him go quarterback, be that Arizona taking a quarterback or Arizona trading out of there for somebody else to take a quarterback at number four, That leaves everybody that's not a quarterback available on the board for the Chargers at number five. So how do you kind of view this whole thing and the Jim Harbaugh part of this that he's been spewing out there the last few days?
So apparently he doesn't need Connor Stallions to be a sneaky genius, huh?
Guess
He's
not.
doing it without Connor.
How do we know? I mean, Connor's not in Michigan anymore, but there's we might be with him in LA. Who knows?
That is true. Maybe Connor's out there taking a bunch of video of Joe Alt and stuff and following around. It's to make people think they want Joe Alt, and then they're gonna, take a receiver, whatever they're gonna do. Yeah, I mean, I think he's playing the game. Also, just the I've been texting with TD because it is like he has a point. Like I agree with what Charles said. Obviously, offensive line is so critical. The spine of your team, I like that. But like TD was saying, wide receivers don't get open. Well, then the offensive line suffers. Running back doesn't pick up assignment. I was told, I think I've told this story before, but Jeff Stoutland covered him when he was at Michigan State. And 1 year, they go from 1 year, offensive line play goes way down. Well, what they didn't really lose anything, but you know what they lost? They lost Charles Rogers from the year before. So all of a sudden, it's like this guy out here that the defense has to totally worry about. And now all of a sudden, they don't have that guy out there. And so it makes it harder on the offensive line. So Harbaugh's, he's oversimplifying a little bit, but it does almost feel like he's intentionally saying that, doesn't it? To dirty the water
Yes,
a little
it
bit.
does.
I mean, that's kind of how I mean, and the like Charles like a conspiracy theory. I mean, to me, isn't that what I mean? People do that all the time, don't they? And sometimes the stuff they say is ends up being what it is. But that he's a great example with like the whole Levis Colts thing last year. I mean, that was so many people were sure of that the Colts Levis was their guy. It's like, nope, Anthony Richardson's their guy, actually, all along. So but think about that for Harbaugh. It is a great but like if it gets to the point where, and I mean, first of all, like if it's Harbaugh out there is the one like JJ McCarthy's amazing, he should be the number one pick. Like I remember when he left Michigan, he said though, I think JJ McCarthy's. Oh, that's great. That's nice of you to say something nice about your guy, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah,
Okay,
appreciate you.
move on. All right.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know why would anybody pay attention to that? Like if he's their coach.
And I don't think it's all originating from him. I think some people are legitimately excited about JJ McCarthy, and I get it because he's very talented, very athletic, and he did just win a national championship, right? So he's a really intriguing prospect. But yeah, if it gets to the point where they can get those four guys, Harbaugh has his pick of whoever he wants, or the phone calls will be rolling in because there's a bunch of teams that are gonna like, oh my gosh, we could get our guy at five now, right? So it sets up to be a pretty good situation. I still tend to believe that when the Titans are there at seven, that Joe Alt's going to be there for them.
Well, I tell you one thing I don't want to see the Titans do, and I don't think you will see the Titans do. Do not trade up. Like, do not. I
Oh,
understand. Like,
absolutely.
I get it. Like,
Totally agree.
maybe you just love Joe Alt and you are convinced that Harbaugh's going to take him. Yeah, you know what? Let him take him and then go take one of these wide receivers. Do not trade up.
Dane O'Neill talked earlier on the show, which I love. Like, call their bluff. Like, you want to have your little Big Ten SEC tournament? Okay, do that. We'll take Jack Golkey and see how we do. And the same thing here. Call his bluff. All right, man. Harbs, if that's what you want, take Alt. I mean, I don't think it's like the end of the world if the Titans don't get him. I just think he makes the most sense and is probably their best bet at having a long-term left tackle who works out.
Well, I agree. Now, we had Austin from Clarksville on the text line asked us earlier about, if the Titans signed Andres Pete, do you think drafting Malik Nabers would be acceptable? I think drafting Malik Nabers is acceptable no matter
Yeah,
what,
I think
right?
that's
Like, I
acceptable.
think it's
Yes.
accept like even if Joe Alt's on the board, if you think Malik Nabers is that much better than everybody else on the board, then yeah, now if they did that, there will be people that look around and say, "So, who's playing left tackle for the Titans?" And I get that, but like, there's not a scenario where like a Neighbors or a Dunze to me is like unacceptable and it's a bad pick. Like, that's why I have no interest in trading up if you're the Titans. One of those guys is gonna be there, whether it's an Alt, a Neighbors, a Dunze, a Bowers, whoever. And if you come away with one of those guys, I'm cool with it if you're the Titans.
Sorry, a helicopter came dangerously close to this hotel. Jeez, what is going on out here? No, Malik Nabers, very acceptable. Yes. Trading up, no. I mean, it just absolutely not. That if anything, if you can find a way, if it works out, if someone wants to be there, if you aren't sitting there like this is exactly what we wanted and we can draft him, the trading the other way would be the move. So, what do we have? What are we looking at? We got a month. We got a month. We
We
have
got a month.
less than a month. We have
Less
less
than
than
a
a
month.
month until the draft. Okay.
Thank God.
Still haven't done a mock draft, by the way. Still haven't done a mock draft. This is my new record, and I'm seeing how long I can hold out.
Well, I mean, find you a nice cozy spot in Detroit this weekend and go get one done. Get your mock
Yeah.
draft done.
I'll work on that Friday night.
In the middle of the game. Just do that. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal score for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds in action tonight in Arizona. Puck drop at 9 o'clock, pregame 8 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. A standings update in the competition. Everybody on the board last game except for Nick Kieser. So the listeners now with 17 correct answers. Joe up to 15. I have moved up to 8. Nick Kieser with 11. So that is the standings update here in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Caleb. Caleb, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, guys. So I've been trying all season to win tickets, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But when Philip Forsberg scores tonight, it's going to be the sweetest thing. So give me Forsberg.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well done, Caleb.
Later.
Yeah, we were going to do this with or without you, Caleb, but you made it even better.
Oh, boy. All righty. A lot of YouTube stuff going on right now. Caleb with Philip Forsberg as the selection. I am up next in the competition. Joe Rexroad, I'm going to go a little bit off the board. Jason Zucker in his game against his former team will score tonight. Jason Zucker with a goal for the Nashville Predators. Forsberg, Zucker off the board. Joe Rexroad, your selection for Preds Pick to Click.
I like it. I like it. And by the way, it is a beautiful day here in Detroit. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I think I'm going to just keep going with Nyquist. I mean, former Red Wing, tied into Detroit, tied into the D. Gus Nyquist, again, on
Nyquist,
the board for me.
The selection, who reaches 20 goals the other night with his goal. Forsberg, Zucker, Nyquist off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I think I will go, Mark Jankowski. Why not?
Mark Jankowski. One of my favorite parts about Kieser is Kieser could have Philip Forsberg available to him at pick number 4 overall, and he'd still go Sissons or Jankowski or Evangelista. And I like it. I respect it.
Yeah, when's the last time that you took, like, Forsberg? Forsberg. When's the last time you took Forsberg? When you've had a chance.
It's been a really long time. The last top six person I picked, I think, was Ryan O'Reilly.
Okay.
And when was that?
Before the streak?
Yeah, it was in January.
There you go. There you go. Kieser, look, I can't say anything. Kieser's ahead of me in the standings. So whatever strategy he's taken has worked.
Yeah. I mean, I have a spreadsheet.
He's got a spreadsheet.
Wow. Of course you do. I mean, I won this one year in the strength of Callie Yarncroak, so you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen.
You just don't know. But it is a very tight competition between you and the listeners coming down the stretch here at the top of the standings.
Yeah, and I mean, mostly I feel pride if I beat you two. And so,
Thank you, not you two, but
the two of you.
A lot of you two talk in this segment.
I got a real problem with C-Mason, his F-U-2 thing. I think that's enough of that, buddy. Hey, you know what? The Preds may win the Stanley Cup. Let me tell you something. They missed out an amazing show. I can tell you firsthand. All right. F the Cup. That U2 show was amazing.
I had somebody asking me, like, I saw this on Twitter, and a friend of mine brought this up the other day as well, and was like, you know, the draft's at the Sphere this summer, right? Like, are the Preds just not going to show up? Are they just anti-Sphere from now on?
It's at the Sphere?
Yeah, man.
Holy cow. That's wild.
It's going to be pretty awesome.
I hope none of those GMs take a gummy, because, man, I tell you what, some wild picks.
What is going on in here? Oh, my. Macklin Celebrini still on the board during pick 16. What's happening?
There's like video of him taking up the entire wall, like, oh, my God. People freaking out. Jeez, I had no idea. Yeah, well, that's good. So some members of the Preds will at least experience fear. Good.
Well, I can bring the cup with them. Like when they get the cup, they just somebody's day at the cup can be just standing in the Sphere holding it up at the top.
I think they do. Someone brought up, and I mean it'd be a tough one. You'd have to really bust out the pocketbook. But what about like having U2 come and like, you know, sing the anthem or something?
It'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, or play, be the band. You know,
well, we talked about it. Like I feel like when the playoffs come, you have to lean into it to some degree, even if it's just something as small as. Like every time they win a game, they just play a U2 song. You know, I feel like you got to lean into it a little bit.
Absolutely. I'm going to come up with a list. And by the way, I mentioned this and I forgot to get back to it. So, you know, Ryan O'Reilly's talking about the two Swedish meatballs, right?
Yeah.
What about the noodle and meatballs line? I mean, he's got a great noodle. He's a smart guy in the, you know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? Noodle and meatballs. What do we think?
And you have a problem with Jofa.
I don't know why that bothered me so much.
Maybe so. Maybe look, I think this should be the subject of another Joe Rexroad Twitter poll. You've only done like two or three in your life. I feel like this is good enough to be the fourth of what do you make of the noodle and meatballs line with O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist? Should be yay or nay, the Twitter poll.
Yeah, I could do that, but you guys are going to morning skate, right?
Well, they're in Arizona, so.
Oh. What month is it?
I'm not going to make it.
What month is it? You're not going to get. Well, see if you can get who's out there with them. See if you can get, you know, anyone to ask O'Reilly what he thinks of noodle and meatballs. He's the noodle. Like that's, you know what I mean? He's a smart guy.
Yeah, maybe so.
Just head on over to morning skate, will you?
Yeah. You guys are going to make it to morning skate, right? It's in the desert in Arizona.
Oh, man. No,
it's good stuff. I mean, we threw it out there earlier, Joe. Are the Predators a Stanley Cup contender? I think the answer we came back with was yes. There's a lot of different categories of Stanley Cup contenders, but I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance. I mean, if you do a scale of 1 to 10, you could go different grades. But if it's strictly yes or no, then yeah, I don't think you can say no now, can you?
I don't think so. I mean, the numbers would tell you that the way they're playing right now is as good as anybody in the league is playing. So if they're playing as well as anybody in the league is playing from both a result standpoint and an underlying metric standpoint, it's hard for me to just dismiss it out of hand that they have no chance heading into the playoffs.
Exactly. By the way, Nate keeps every time we do Preds Pick to Click, and thank you, Nate. He says it seems like a month since Joe has gone first. I'm with you, man. They're talk about conspiracy. Forget Harbaugh. I mean, if I just kept track of anything, I'd probably have like 20 right picks.
Well, I'll never let you know. We'll see.
Nick, what's your spreadsheet say? When's the last time I picked first?
That is not on there. I only have these picks. Convenient.
Yeah, very convenient. Yeah,
it is. Convenient. Yes.
Just throwing it out there. Head on over to Morning Skate, Nick. Give us a full report back in the morning.
Noodle and meatballs. Anyone?
Noodle and meatballs. Anybody have any thoughts on this whatsoever?
Meatballs
Ryan,
and noodle?
What do
meatballs
you think?
Meatballs and noodle?
Forsberg. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll try to be better tomorrow. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Joe. Enjoy Detroit. We'll see you in the morning. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.